Green Bay Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're recapping the NFL draft and looking forward to this weekend's rookie minicamp in Green Bay. To discuss that, we have one of the players participating in this weekend's rookie orientation minicamp, Temple punter Paul Layton. Mr. Layton, how are you doing this morning?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
We're glad to have you join the show. Now, the Packers host their rookie minicamp this weekend, Friday through Sunday, and Paul is getting a trial with the team. What are your travel plans, Paul? When are you getting into town?
I'm getting in around noon on Thursday, so tomorrow, and we're getting right into meetings and everything Thursday, and then on field Friday and Saturday.
Now, Paul, this past season you transferred from Albany to Temple, stepping up to the highest level of college football. What went into your decision to transfer, and what was the transition like?
So I had a really great experience at the University at Albany in New York. And I redshirted my first season, and I actually ended up graduating after three seasons. So I had an extra year, and I wanted to do grad school somewhere. So there's a great fit at Temple, and they had a need for punter, and it was a grad school that I want to get into. So it was really just a perfect fit. And I got in there right in time for spring ball before my last season. You know, got acquainted with everybody, and it just turned out to be a perfect fit. Played my last season there, had a great time. Not the season that we would have wanted, only had two wins, but I got a lot of action on the field punting, so it worked out for me.
So did you actually end up getting your master's degree, or you're working on it?
I just handed in my last assignment about 2 days ago, so I am done.
Wow, congratulations. A master's in what?
Marketing and business.
Okay, very cool. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you were invited to an all-star game at the Medal of Honor Bowl. How did that experience go, and what was it like working out in front of scouts?
Yep, that was in Charleston, South Carolina in January, and that was a great experience. I mean, as soon as you walk into the hotel on the first day you get there, there are scouts watching you all the time. So it was a really cool experience, and every practice there were scouts, and every meeting there were scouts watching you walk in the room and make sure you were early and watching you eat. So it was just a different experience, but it was one that I always remember, and it was a fun time, and the game ended up being pretty fun as well, even though they don't look at that as much. They really focus on the practices, but it was just a great time overall.
Sounds like Big Brother was watching over you, but
can
you describe your punting style for me? Can you do the Aussie style end under end kick?
Yeah, so I do that when we're closer to doing pooch punt and trying to down them inside their 10 or 20 to try to create some backspin. And overall, other than when I'm not doing Aussie, I would say I'm a directional punter, trying to pin the team towards the sideline to make it easier for coverage. So that's kind of, the main things that I do.
What extra do you offer, Paul? Have you been a holder? Do you do kickoffs or place kicks?
Yeah, so I've pretty much done a little bit of all those. The past three seasons, I've been the holder. I've been thrown in to do a couple of kicks here and there, a couple of kickoffs. I did everything in high school. I was an all-state quarterback in high school, so I think I bring a lot of versatility to the table.
So you can on a fake, you can throw a pass then too?
Yeah, I'm definitely ready for that.
All right. Now we're talking to Paul Layton, a punter from Temple, who's taking part in this weekend's Packers orientation rookie mini camp. Paul, did you have offers from any other NFL teams leading into this weekend?
No, nothing was definite. The only one that we definitely had was Green Bay. I know we had interest from a few others, but ultimately, this seemed like a great opportunity, and we jumped on it as soon as we had it.
Very good. Obviously, you're entering a situation in Green Bay that has an established punter in Tim Mastay. So what kind of mindset do you take into this weekend's minicamp?
Well, I know Tim is a good, proven punter. He's done well the last few seasons. And, you know, I'm really not worried about competing with him. I need to compete with myself and prove to the coaching staff that I'm worthy of a contract, and then get through this weekend. And then after that, I think my mindset changes a little bit. But right now, I'm just competing with myself and trying to do my best this weekend.
Do you watch Tim Mastay at all on television? Do you admire the way he punts?
You know, I haven't seen too much of him. Being in New York and Philadelphia, you don't get to see a lot of Packers games. But I'm definitely going to take a look at him if I get extended with the team past this weekend and, change my focus a little bit.
Now, the Packers typically keep open a few roster spots for players that impress during tryouts to sign a contract, to take into minicamp, take into training camp. Does that kind of serve as inspiration for you?
Yeah, definitely. That is definitely my goal going forward. First and foremost, I need to impress them. And just, the fact that they have an interest in me is a great opportunity for me. But if I can definitely get a contract in place after this, that's definitely the ultimate goal moving forward. And, just to have a shot, just to have an opportunity has always been a dream for me. And, to be in Green Bay, what an awesome opportunity. I'm really looking forward to getting up there and competing.
Well, Paul, we wish you all the best of luck this weekend as you start to take part in Packers minicamp. Wish you all the best of luck and hope you realize your dream.
Thank you. Thanks a lot for having me on.
All right, take care. Paul Layton, punter from Temple, taking part in this Packers weekend rookie orientation minicamp. Going to the Packers on a tryout basis, it's a long shot, but the Packers, every year, they do this on purpose. They leave open a few roster spots, and it's guaranteed every year. They usually sign about 2 to 3 guys who are coming in for a tryout to sign to a contract, and Paul Layton is one of those guys. Obviously tough, as a specialist, a punter, there's only one roster spot, it's unlike any other position on the team where, their defensive line, they're keeping 6-7 defensive linemen or offensive linemen, they're keeping up to 9-10 of them. You're a punter, there's only one, but he'll get an opportunity to prove himself this weekend. And I guess what I wanted to do here on Railbird Central is kind of continue the discussion from after the NFL draft. Now, I hope you had the opportunity to check out our knee-jerk reaction podcast during the NFL draft. We put out 8 podcasts over the course of Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, pretty much one after every round. I think in the third round when they had 2 draft picks, we actually did 2 podcasts. But so we covered the draft picks pretty heavily here. And what I wanted to do today is kind of talk about the undrafted guys and those coming in for tryouts here, as we just did with Paul Layton. But you know what? Haven't really had a chance yet on Railbird Central to discuss the guys coming in for tryouts. And you know what? I got to start off with the biggest name of all, and that would be Alabama outside linebacker Adrian Hubbard. And this is an interesting one because it wouldn't have surprised me or pretty much anyone to hear that the Packers had selected Hubbard in the middle rounds of the NFL draft, even as high as day 2, maybe late on day 2. But I mean, this is a guy who just oozes potential, and for the Packers to be able to get him as an undrafted free agent, I mean, it's just a win-win situation because there is so little risk involved with Adrian Hubbard. Now the reason apparently he dropped in the draft, and there's more than one reason, but the one that concerns you the most is there's apparently they found it out at the NFL Combine some sort of minor abnormality in his heart, and they found this through testing or scans or whatever it is that they do. But he ended up getting cleared by a doctor. He was able to do workouts and all that. In an interview with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Hubbard actually feels like it, that, you know, some of the paperwork may have been tardy in getting to all the NFL teams. And, you know, they just don't want to take a chance on a drafted player with something like that. So, but the Packers apparently immediately brought him in after the NFL draft. I think he came, you know, draft ended Saturday. I think if I remember read the report right, he was flying into Green Bay on Sunday to take this physical, and he got cleared, and they signed him to a contract. Packers have signed 13 undrafted free agents. Currently, the roster stands at 88 out of 90 players, including the draft picks, who technically haven't signed a contract yet, but they will. Adrian Hubbard, one of those 13. Now with Hubbard, another one of the reasons he ended up dropping out of the draft is because he's got all the physical talent in the world. I mean, he is just a physical freak. I mean, we're talking 6'6", 257 pounds. He had a vertical jump of over 38 inches. His arms are over 34 inches long, absolutely long. You know, he is what you want in an outside linebacker in a 3-4 defense the Packers run, although we could argue about how much they're going to run a true 3-4 this year. But regardless, beside the point, Adrian Hubbard, total talent, but he's always kind of been an underachiever or underwhelming at the University of Alabama. He really didn't play all that much his first two seasons in college, but then his first year he redshirted, and then his first, you know, year he could play after that, he played only sparingly. But then he started these past 2 years, but he only kind of had 10 sacks, which, you know, as a pass rusher, a guy whose primary job is to get after the passer, you know, he just didn't have that much production. It was kind of underwhelming. You know, I can't speak to this, but I mean, you could go and read on the internet about how Adrian Hubbard has an inflated sense of self. It's out there. I think, you know, I was citing the profiles from NFL.com and Nolan Naraki, and you can go ahead and read that there. This is not my opinion, but something I know is out there on him. So, yeah, I mean, you take all these things together, and that's why Adrian Hubbard slipped. But in fact, if you were to go to CheeseheadTV.com, and I put out these little articles, put them in our microblog about NFL comparisons to these rookie players. Over at the site mockdraftable.com, what they do is they have a database, and they take all the NFL combine measurables from just things like height and weight and hand size and arm length to the things you test in, like bench press and 40-yard dash and three-cone drill and all that. And so what they do is they take all these measurables and they compare players to previous NFL players before them, you know, what they're kind of like, you know, that you can kind of compare them to previous NFL players. And just from a physical standpoint, you know, the combine measurables, height, weight, 40, bench press, those kind of things, some of the closest comparisons to Adrian Hubbard were, get these names, Brian Urlacher, Javon Kearse, and Kabir Bajaa-Biyamila, former Packer Hall of Famer. Now that is some pretty good company. And we're talking about every player that's been to the NFL Combine since like 2000 or something or other that the database goes back to. So, I mean, you know, a lot of times you find these comparisons to guys who never even made the NFL or you know, had short careers or anything. But Adrian Hubbard's comparisons, Javon Kearse, Brian Urlacher, Kabir Bajabiamila. That's some pretty darn good company. Just to show you the potential here that's inside his body. And so, I mean, the thing the Packers are hoping is that, you know, well, he may have been an underachiever in college or whatever. You know, now all of a sudden, this is his job. He's hopefully become a little bit humbled by the draft process. He declares as an underclassman and ends up going undrafted. Well, that's got to bring a little bit of humility to you, I would think. You know, your job is now on the line, and it's great that he got an NFL contract, but by no means is he guaranteed of a roster spot in Green Bay. So he's going to have to work his butt off and, you know, basically, you know, make the roster as probably one of the last guys who earn a spot and just really got to impress the heck out of the coaches. And maybe that's what it takes, you know. Maybe that's all it takes to really put this all together, and the Packers could end up getting the steal of undrafted free agency. I mean, they practically did a few years ago with Sam Shields. Maybe this is the Sam Shields of 2014, Adrian Hubbard. You can only hope that. So, it's great, I think, to sign a guy like this, considered one of the top guys who didn't get drafted, and the Packers sign him, and there's really very little risk. I mean, definitely the financial risk is minimal. If he doesn't end up, you know, making the team or, you know, ends up being a bust, well, you cut him and you didn't really lose all that much. You lose a minimal signing bonus probably that the Packers can afford, and you lost the time invested into him. And I don't know. I mean, depends when you cut him, how much of an investment you lose there. But, anyway, you know, talking about some of the other guys, that were signed by the Packers as undrafted free agents. And maybe I'll kind of talk about them in order here of guys who I think can maybe make an impact in Green Bay. And the next most interesting one to me is running back Ladarius Perkins. One of only a handful of undrafted free agents the Packers signed, I think one of only two, that were actually invited to the NFL Combine. So, you know, right there, he's a little bit higher stock than most. Now, Perkins was played at a major college program at Mississippi State in the SEC, so you know he's played against high-level competition. Now, he's a short little running back. He's not even 5'8", 5'7.5", 198 pounds, but strong, but thick for his size, and really quick, 4.47 40-yard dash. He's really got everything you want. You know, if you're going to get a short guy, at least you're getting a short, strong guy. And what he is he has got the second all-time... He's the second all-time leader in all-purpose yards in Mississippi State history because he really is an all-purpose type of player. He's not only a running back, he caught the ball out of the backfield. And get this, he had 68 receptions over the course of his career, and he also returned kickoffs. And that is what I think... What makes him really intriguing for the Packers is they, of course, you know, obviously want to get Randall Cobb off kickoffs. So, hey, bring in a running back that has experience doing it, that's fast, has 4.4 speed. And you know, I suppose the thing that's disappointing is he really didn't average all that great Was a great kickoff returner at Mississippi State. He averaged 21.1 yards, which is nothing special. I would have guessed it would have been more, you know, just looking at the 4.4 speed. But it's not. He doesn't really have experience as a punt returner, but I still think, you know, just the fact he has experience as a kick returner, he's got a lot of experience catching the ball out of the backfield and was a, you know, running back. He actually, as a junior in 2012, he had over 1,000 yards. He had 1,000-yard rushing season. So he was used heavily there at Mississippi State. So I think he's an interesting guy that'll really have a chance to push for a roster spot. And you know what here, on top of this, it is very kind of interesting that the Packers not only signed Perkins after the NFL draft, they also signed Tennessee running back Rajon Neal, and they're bringing in Kansas running back James Sims for a tryout, just like Paul Layton before. He's coming in for a tryout, hasn't earned a roster spot yet. But the Packers looking rather heavily at running backs, which it kind of makes you scratch your head, because you're like, okay, that they're set with the rookie of the year in Eddie Lacy. They just re-signed James Starks. So why are they looking so heavily at running backs? Well, it makes you kind of wonder. Now, Jonathan Franklin ended up going on injured reserve last season with both a concussion and a neck injury. DeJuan Harris was on injured reserve all year. And you kind of wonder, I mean, are these guys maybe not quite healthy? Is there something wrong with their recovery times that maybe gives you pause to think that they're not going to make a full comeback or be the players they once were, maybe? And I'm just speculating, but you know, it's not that I'm surprised the Packers signed a running back as an undrafted free agent. I wouldn't have batted an eye had they just signed one or something like that. But all of a sudden, they signed two, and they're bringing another one in for a tryout. In fact, I think they're bringing in two more for a tryout. Another one reported by the Green Bay Press Gazette from a Baptist college, just kind of an underrated kind of guy. But I mean, you know, why so heavily at running back? And Rajon Neal is an interesting one as well. He was over 1,000-yard rusher this past season for Tennessee. He had over 1,100 yards. And he, too, is kind of a good-built guy, 5'11", 220, runs a 4.5. I know he participated in the East-West Shrine game and was considered probably one of the top running backs not to go drafted. So interesting there, just, you know, how the Packers are really kind of focused on running back. And I would really say, you know, especially if they could return kicks, and I know Perkins can, I don't think Neal returned a whole lot of kicks in college, but if they can, you know, just provide that little bit of extra value, they might have a chance. Okay, some of the other interesting guys for the Green Bay Packers. I think both the inside linebackers stand a shot simply from the, you know, standpoint that you kind of thought, you know, heading into the NFL draft, there was so much focus. How much time did we spend on the show talking about Ryan Shazier and CJ Mosley, right? Thought they might be the first round draft pick of the Green Bay Packers. And didn't end up being that way. But the Packers also, you know, didn't address inside linebacker at all throughout any of the seven rounds. Now, you can make the argument that maybe Carl Bradford could potentially be an outside linebacker, but at least starting off with, it appears they want to try him at outside linebacker, try him as a pass rusher. But, you know, from the simple standpoint that, you know, that A.J. Hawk, Brad Jones, Jamari Lattimore, Sam Barrington, they all, you know, are guys who have earned an NFL contract in the past. But none of them are, you know, truly unique athletes that if one of these guys the Packers signed as undrafted free agents and they signed two of them, if just one of them could really make an impression, you know, there's a job, you know, for them there possibly. And so go through both these guys here. One was Joe Thomas, an inside linebacker from South Carolina State. And the other was Jake Doty of Utah State. And so with Thomas, he comes from a small school. Not, you know, the, I believe South Carolina State is the FCS division of college football. But he was the Mid-Eastern Athletic Defensive Player of the Year. Ended up having over 100 tackles his last season. Over the course of his career, he's had 11 and a half sacks, 4 interceptions, has had a bunch of tackles for a loss, 31 for a loss. He's not a huge guy, only little over 6 foot and a fraction, 228 pounds. But a guy who, you know, played a lot and was productive when he played. I find that really intriguing about him, as well as the kid from Utah State then, Jake Doty. And you know, ends up, you know, he too is little undersized, 6 foot and a fraction, 233 pounds, slightly bigger. But from what I've seen, his measurables from his pro day were pretty good. 4.56 in the 40 yard dash, a vertical jump of 33 inches, a broad jump of 9'4", 24 reps on the bench. Pretty good for an inside linebacker. 4.5 speed for an inside linebacker. That's really, really good. Surprisingly good. And I remember watching him and him sticking out in the Poinsettia Bowl this past year. End up being named to our own Cheesehead TV All Bowl team as an inside linebacker, and really helped stop Northern Illinois quarterback Jordan Lynch from running all over that Utah State defense that was really good, with Doty leading it in the middle. Kind of interesting. If either Thomas or Doty can stand out, there's a spot on the team, and they're probably going to have to make it on special teams as well. You know, if you're a backup inside linebacker, you know, you're going to have to be a core special teamer and offer a lot there. And certainly I'm not writing anybody off as far as Sam Barrington or Jamari Lattimore or anything like that, but you know, there's an opportunity there for one of these guys to win a roster spot. Of course, the Packers brought in their fourth quarterback. There was a lot of attention on that prior to the draft, and you thought maybe they would draft one late, but I suppose, you know, with the Packers, they re-signed Matt Flynn. They already have Scott Tolzien. It just wasn't, you know, a huge need to get a fourth quarterback. And so they just signed one as an undrafted free agent, Chase Reddig, out of Boston College. And you know, he came from a program that ran the ball a ton. You know, they had Andre Williams, the running back there at Boston College, who ended up being a Heisman Trophy finalist because they just ran the heck out of him, and he touched the ball a ton of times. He was running for 200, 300 yards a game. But Reddig is a guy who really, I think, kind of got better as time went on there. I remember, you know, Boston College would be on national TV. I can remember watching him on a Thursday night or two. And I thought, well, Reddig, he's got at least some nice size. He's 6'2", 215, good size for a quarterback, and he's got a sufficiently strong arm. And, he looks raw. I mean, obviously, coming from a program that doesn't throw the ball a whole lot, you know, there's going to be a learning curve to overcome at the NFL level. But he does look like the kind of guy who's got enough natural talent to want to develop. And, you know, I don't think there's any chance that he ends up, you know, winning a roster spot with the Green Bay Packers, but he might be a guy that they carry on the practice squad all season long, and then we're talking a year from now, potentially winning a roster spot, you know, and not guaranteed by any means. But if you know he's got the raw skills and talent to do it, you know, and is amenable to coaching and learning and you know, learning under Coach McCarthy's quarterback camp, you never know where his game might be able to go. And you hope he's kind of a guy who really comes on. Because I guess, you know, what the other thing here, too, is, you know, Scott Tolzien is no longer eligible for the practice squad. Scott Tolzien is either kept on the 53-man roster or he's out on the street. So, you know, if the Packers just choose to keep Matt Flynn as their backup and they decide not to carry three quarterbacks on the roster, and they typically don't if guys are healthy, you know, it could very easily see a situation where Reddick is carried as kind of the third quarterback on the practice squad all year long. And then next year potentially has a chance. So that's kind of the situation facing him. Just quickly going over a few of these other guys. Mike Pennell, I'm not even sure exactly how to pronounce the name. He was the only other player the Packers signed as an undrafted free agent that was invited to the NFL Combine. He's a nose tackle, a huge guy, 6'4", 330 pounds. Played at Colorado State Pueblo, but actually transferred from Arizona State before that, so he has played major college football. The reason he transferred, though, is he got suspended twice from Arizona State. You kind of have to look into that a little bit and wonder why was he suspended twice. And, you know, I'm sure the Packers have done their due diligence figuring out why. Another person they signed, another defensive lineman, Carlos Gray of North Carolina State. This is an interesting story in that he declared for the NFL draft as an underclassman, and you've probably heard a lot of stories about, you know, there was so many underclassmen this past year. There wasn't there something like 90 in total? But Carlos Gray from NC State wasn't even much of a contributor in college. It didn't really have a huge impact, but declared anyway, and ends up going undrafted. He only played 249 snaps last season. I'm checking out Bob McGinn's profiles here at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. 249 snaps, and he declared as an underclassman. So, interesting there, whether he's got the makeup to make it or not. John Fullington, an offensive lineman from Washington State, made 43 starts. I thought it was 42. 43 starts, the second longest streak of consecutive games started in Washington State history. They signed Jordan McCray, an offensive lineman from Central Florida. Same exact program that Josh Sitton was produced from, that developed in. So you hope they kind of strike it rich twice there with the Central Florida product. I remember Jordan McCray. He was another one that was named to our Cheesehead TV All-Bowl team. Ended up, you know, playing on a Central Florida team that really had a good year, won their conference, played in a BCS bowl game, ended up beating Baylor in the Fiesta Bowl, I think it was. Who else did the Packers sign here? Justin Perillo, a tight end from Maine. I don't know much about him, obviously, coming from a small school. We did post a video here on Justin Perillo at Cheesehead TV in our microblog if you want to check that out. USA Today and thebiglead.com ended up following him along throughout the pre-draft process. They wanted to show what it was like as a kind of a long shot NFL draft guy and you know, kind of get that type of perspective. And they actually show him on the phone getting the call from the Packers saying, we're going to sign you or whatever. Cool moment. Obviously has a lot to prove, but a cool moment to kind of document and whatever. And Ryan White, a cornerback from the University of Auburn, played on their national championship team in 2010. started for him this past season. I don't know much about Ryan White either, but he's got a shot like all these undrafted rookies, and it all starts this weekend in Green Bay. Rookie mini camp taking place Friday through Sunday. I guarantee that's what we'll be talking a lot about on Friday's edition of the show here at Cheesehead TV. Really excited to basically get the 2014 edition of the Green Bay Packers underway here, see them in action, and we'll find out a little bit more to see how these guys do. That'll do it for today's episode of the show. Thank you everybody so much for joining in here and tuning in and listening into Railbird Central. Thanks to Paul Layton, Temple Punter, for joining us on the show, trying out for the Packers on a tryout basis. We'll see what he's made out of this weekend and wish him the best of luck. But on behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caravu. We'll see you later, folks. Leave you today with a song called "The Place That I Call Home" by the infamous String Dusters on Psy Fidelity Records. Go Pack, go.